In this episode of Movie Wallahs, we talk about Nerve and Absolutely Fabulous. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yes, Dee as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. So we're in a bit of a time crunch today. Let's go straight to online streaming, me says, unless you had some banter to banter about.
No.
No banter, just business.
Yes. You're going to be stern.
So online streaming, guys, this is our segment that we normally do every week, saying I can't find anything to watch on Netflix, which we do to try and address the criticism that there's never anything on, and there's always plenty on. So guys, what have you got in your queues this week?
So I'm very happy to share September's of Shiraz, which I just recently watched. It just came out recently, so this is a treat. It's kind of like a straight to Netflix, but came via the cinemas very quickly. And it's a really interesting movie with Adrian Brody.
It does actually come out on August 23rd, so if you're listening to this before then, you may not be able to find it, but persevere and find it.
And it's basically a story about around the time of the Iranian Revolution, and it stars Salma Hayek and Adrian Brody, and I spoke about this a few podcasts ago. Very, very good movie. Really
good. And Rashmi
good.
Also wrote up a little review on our website, so you can look it up.
Thank you, Yazdi.
Yeah, you loved this movie, didn't you?
I really did. I think it's a really interesting... You know, I think with the political situation in the Middle East as it is, I think it tells a really interesting story that's relevant. And it's set back in the 70s. Yeah. Really good production.
Yeah.
Yazdi, what's your pick?
My pick from Netflix is the movie The Overnight. And this was a movie we saw at Tribeca Film Festival last year. Yeah. And I'm absolutely bummed that this movie didn't catch on when it got released in the cinemas. It's one of those movies where you are laughing, not because it's necessarily funny, although it's very funny, but because you laugh because you're so nervous, you can't believe what's going on the screen. Yeah. And just when you know, every time you're watching a movie and you say they're not going to go there, this movie just totally keeps going there again and again and again. And so
it's really funny.
It's really funny. It's squeezing you, saying it's got the lovely Taylor Schilling. It's got Jason Schwartzman in it. It's also got Adam Scott in it.
And who's such a chameleon.
He's such a chameleon. It's about this couple which go to spend the night at the home of this other couple because their kids are best friends. And during the course of the overnight, all kinds of shenanigans happen. I really think people should watch it.
I literally
belly laughed.
Yeah.
And I'm a very dour movie watcher. I don't usually laugh at movies.
Really I laughed.
I didn't catch a screening with you at the film festival. I did see an online screener when we got home. And honestly, what an uncomfortable movie that is to watch. The whole time I'm sitting there going, it's like, it's cringe. Please don't go there. Please don't. Oh, you went there. Oh, God.
And
all
it's
right.
really funny.
And then some. So, yeah, great pick, yes.
But it also has something to say about marriages and the unsaid things and all kinds of stuff. It's good stuff.
It's clever stuff.
It's very clever.
And it's what's the name of the guys that did it?
The Duplass Brothers produced it.
Thank you. Yeah, but it's got very much their feel to it.
It's written and directed by Patrick Bryce, but produced by the Duplass Brothers. Yes,
Joe, yours is
something completely different, or maybe not so much. No Country for Old Men. That's coming out on Netflix in the August timeframe. Written by Joel and Ethan Coen, the Coen brothers. Couple of writer-directors that we're huge fans of here on the show. I think a lot of people are too. And this is one of their darker movies. It's not a comedy. It doesn't have comedic elements to it in the way that many of their movies do. There's always that sense of irony that runs through their particular movies. But for me, my favorite aspect of this movie is the Javier Bardem character.
Yes.
I'm not a huge fan of his, but the Anton Chigurh character that he plays in this movie is an iconic bad guy.
Yeah.
I am so frightened by the thought of him. He's played brilliantly by Bardem, and the movie itself has just great tension and discomfort. And I think it's probably one of my favorite movies of theirs, certainly at the time, since Fargo.
Yeah, so. It's probably one of the most dark, I think, of the whole ones that they've written. And
it's
also
very
odd.
It's very odd. A lot of things happen off screen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which you would expect, you know, and it's maybe it's in the book that way. But yeah, and a great cast. Yeah.
Terrific cast. Tommy great Lee Jones, Josh Brolin,
Kelly McDonald,
Woody Harrelson, they're all here.
Yeah.
Okay, so two movie reviews this week. We have Nerve and we have Absolutely Fabulous. Let me start with Nerve.
Sure. So Nerve is from directors Henry Joost and Ariel Schulman, who previously are best known for making the films Catfish and Paranormal Activity 3. The writers for Nerve are Gene Ryan and Jessica Scharzer, and the movie stars Emma Roberts and Dave Franco. And the premise for the movie is a high school girl gets involved in a strange online game where she has to contend with a group of anonymous watchers who seem to be somehow watching over her. And now, I didn't get to see this movie. I know the both of you did. So should I make the nerve to go see Nerve? Oh, that was bad. Forget I said that. What did you think of the Nerve?
You know, I think this is a brilliant concept that is actually executed well. It's quite a thrill ride to see the plot unfold, and then I think there are enough twists and turns along the way outside the somewhat predictable teen romance.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of bummed this movie missed the 60% threshold on Rotten Tomatoes because it's showing up as rotten. And honestly, I think it deserves better. I think it's very easily dismissed as kind of teen tech nonsense. You know, it's like, you know, kids with cell phones and online games and that kind of thing. But it's directed with such energy and conviction that it actually really works. Act one and two in this movie are just, they're brilliant fun. I'm rooting for the characters. It feels like, remember that movie with Gordon Levitt a couple of years ago, Premium Rush?
Yeah,
It has that kind of, you know, nonstop
energy
to it. It just keeps going, it's going, it's frenetic, it wastes no time whatsoever. And, you know, cynically you can pick out the cliches in it all, you know, the high school tropes and if you just, you know, take it for what it is. I mean, I was rooting for the characters. Emma Roberts was brilliant in this.
Yeah, I don't think it's as smart as Disconnect. I know, Yazdi, which you and I love. Like, it's not as cerebral as Disconnect, but I think it's a really good representation of how millennials live. And you know, to some extent, of course, this game is all fiction. It's based on a book. But it's a good narrative on how we define ourselves and the lengths that we that people are willing to go to make themselves look a different way on social media and how social media plays such a part in whether you look cool or not and how we represent ourselves.
It's kind of truth or dare for the modern age in kind of a way, you know, there's that element of how brave can we be? How will we show people that we're not boring? Because all those kind of teen insecurities that you have, you know, gosh, you know, I remember thinking at a time at one point, you know, how horrible it would be to be thought of as boring. And, you know, that's...
And now we relish it.
And now I'm like, yeah, I would be...
We long for boring.
I am, and I've achieved it. Yay! But, yeah, it kind of has that. And I think the timing couldn't be better with Pokemon Go in the world right now. I'm not sure if you're hearing about that, but I think marketing-wise, they could have missed it. So I really, it kind of bums me that their threshold is showing as rotten, because I think a lot of people won't see a movie that's rotten, and I think you absolutely should.
I agree. Oh. I agree. I think, you know, it's good enough so that it doesn't read only as a teen movie, although there's a lot of pop culture references, and it does get a little bit tweeny in that last act. But you know, I think what really makes this movie is Emma Roberts and Dave Franco are so perfectly cast, and they have such great chemistry. It's a delight to watch.
It's fun.
Kind of you're kind of on the edge of your seat, even. That it plays
in
like
act
a horror.
One and two, I think Act three kind of
has
starts
a few
to
problems.
I think the only failure of Act three is that it really starts to ask a bit much of its audience in terms of plausibility, right? This is always going to be a little bit far-fetched. Its basic premise is not entirely realistic in today's world. But in Act 3, it just goes that little extra step in my mind that kind of made me think, Well, that's not the way that that would pan out. And unfortunately, it's kind of very obvious. I think they wrote themselves into a little bit of a corner and had to take that step in order to resolve everything. But you know what? Didn't really spoil my enjoyment. This is a good time at the movies.
Yeah. And I like that it explores things like the dark web, and it looks at... you know, Joe and I call this concept sheepism, where you kind of feel like you have to follow the crowd. And so, you know, Boaty McBoatface, that's a whole different conversation. But this whole thing of democracy and what the people want, and what's funny versus, you know, what's right. Anonymous. So it's got some really good things in it. Yeah. You know, I'll sum this up. Nerve, it touched one. It tickled one. It's a great movie. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, and me too. I think I wrote in my notes, actually, that the critics and the cognoscenti will hate it. And gladly they didn't hate it. They just didn't love it. But stuff them. This is great fun, smart ideas, solid execution, 8 out of 10.
Huh, I thought this would be kind of a throwaway movie.
I wasn't sure if you'd
movie.
Like it, Joe, because of the techie stuff, and I wasn't sure how real that was when we were talking about
Jason Bourne,
but
it's a different universe to that, and it's a lot more playful with those ideas, so I really like this
I think you'll like it.
I'll try to catch it. I thought it would be a throwaway movie, but it seems it's done pretty well, so I'll definitely check it out.
Movie number two of the week then is Absolutely Fabulous,
the movie.
So after attracting both media and police attention for accidentally knocking Kate Moss into the River Thames, Adina and Patsy hide out in the south of France. So these are two beloved TV characters that come to the big screen. It's the whole crew. If you're a fan of Ab Fab, as it was affectionately known, the whole crew is back again, led by Jennifer Saunders, Joanna Lumley, Julia Sawalha, June Whitfield, Jane Horrocks. Everyone is in this movie. So, Yassi, I'm not sure if you ever watched the TV program. Did you? We kind of grew up with it in the UK.
I watched it. It used to show on PBS.
Correct.
Here. So I've watched a few episodes. I mean, I always smile and I cackle, but I don't guffaw. You know, I don't like... I frankly don't completely understand the popularity. I mean, it seems funny enough, but maybe it's culturally specific.
So how about the movie?
The movie is fun. I was never bored, but of course it's silly. It just seemed exceptionally silly to me. But I think that's the whole point of Absolutely Fabulous. And I think somewhere underneath it, it's making a commentary on how we live now and about how shallow we are and all of that. I did not see any of that in the movie. Maybe I wasn't digging hard enough. So it's fairly inoffensive. It just is silly and goofy and wants you to have fun. By those metrics, I think it succeeds.
Joe?
I was never a huge fan of the TV show. Rashmi, I remember you liked it a lot. I never quite got the Patsy and Eddie characters. Yeah. They were never quite on my wavelength. So like you, Yazdi, I think I always thought it was... I could see why people would like it, but I never was one of those people. So more of the same is really what we get here. I mean, this is really like an extended episode of the TV show. And for me, it really comes about 10 years too late. I feel like we've moved on from much of what made these characters so beloved. I mean, I think, you know, the idea that they were these older women that were as vulgar and crude and behaved like teenagers.
Or obsessed with the superficial.
All of that stuff. I think... Being there, done that is what springs to mind. But, you know, it was entertaining enough in the moment, but honestly, nothing to get terribly excited about.
Yeah, I mean, Joe, I enjoyed the TV show. I wasn't a huge fan, and I certainly couldn't quote you all the Edina and Patsy-isms that many of the big fans can. I think this is a victim of being a one-joke comedy, and it always has been, right? Because it originally started off as a sketch within the very talented Jennifer Saunders and Dawn French, you know, skit
That's
comedy
right,
show
yeah.
called French and Saunders, where they kind of acted out this one skit, and I think it really grew from that. I mean, it's okay. It's fun. It's, you know, I think you guys have said it. For me, I think the funniest moments come from the simplest jokes, which is really the physical humor of Jennifer Saunders, the Edina character. I think the little kid in the movie is sassy, but in a wrong way.
Yeah.
The whole movie is just a little bit too far-fetched. But it's funny to see cameos from, you know, anyone who was famous in the 90s.
And that was my favorite aspect of the movie, was like picking out these people. It's like, really, is that, you know,
what they look like now?
Yeah.
And even, you know, John Hamm's in it.
Yeah.
Bit hammy.
Oddly, yeah. But I agree with you. Why now? This movie should have come out like 5-7 years ago, yeah. Yeah. 10 years ago.
They would have made it's more too money. Late.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I can only think that maybe this was a script that was brewing in the drawer of Jennifer Saunders for years, and something she felt she had to get out there, or she had a car payment to make, you know, yeah. Yeah. And was like, let's resurrect Patsy and Eddie and, you know, have a blast. I'm sure it was a lot of fun to make. I mean, again, I think all the cameos that they have, the you know, some extraordinary, you know, blasts from the past, Dame Edna popping up in there, and, you know,
yeah,
it's a lot of fun to see those people. But ultimately, the plot was so disposable.
Completely.
I mean,
the whole movie is disposable, yeah.
I cannot recall one element of the plot. I know that at some point they end up in a hotel in the south of France, but everything else was just a complete blur.
The only thing I remember is at some point their car falls into this body of water and they're sinking.
That's the funniest bit. That's like one of the funniest bits for me.
That's the only bit I remember, yeah.
I can start wrapping this one up if you want me to.
Where was the Pet Shop Boys soundtrack?
Used to. I had it on cassette.
They had it. Absolutely Fabulous.
Yeah.
I really missed that.
Yeah. Funny, not fabulous. 5 out of 10.
Yeah, between 4 and 5. I'll be generous. 5 out of 10. Very disposable, but at the back of the plane, if you're trapped, you have absolutely nothing to watch. You'll get a few giggles out of it.
Yeah, and I would say that if you're a diehard fan of the show, then, you know, you get absolutely what you're looking for here. This is another dollop of Patsy and Eddie, and, you know, gay bars around the country, I'm sure, are going to be, you know, because they have this huge, and I've never quite understood why, you know, they have such this great big gay following, but
because, you know, I think there's a lot of transgender men who like to dress as them.
As Patsy and Eddie, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a masculinity about both characters, yeah, which I think is maybe where it comes from. Maybe I'm getting into dangerous territory here, but it's certainly, you know, the core audience, the core fan base, and we were in a movie theater absolutely
with fans who were filled laughing. With fans.
The people in front of us were like
dying of laughter,
keeling over in their seats. I'm like, really?
People brought champagne. I mean,
there
you
were
know.
People dressed up.
Yeah, so, you know, I think they get what they wanted, and I think this is for them and maybe not for us. So 5 out of 10 from me as well.
Okay.
Okay. I did say we were on a time crunch, and so I'm going to wrap up this episode real quick. So, mail@moviewallers.com, twitter.com/moviewallers, facebook.com/moviewallers, instagram.com/moviewallers. I'm slurring my speech because I'm in dire need of food, which we're going to go and get now. So, until our next podcast. Too many movies?
Too little time.
Good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.